Wednesday, July 27th. Having a conversation concerning today's headlines and real-life challenges. I'm Tom Lamprecht, along with Pastor Harry Reeder. Stay with us as we apply a biblical worldview with gospel solutions to put the issues of today in perspective. Harry, over the months and years we have been doing Today in Perspective, you have said more than once that one cannot merely manage their sin, they must mortify their sin. And the gospel allows us to have changed lives. Rosaria Butterfield, who is a friend of yours, many of our listeners are likely very familiar with her and her work. She made one statement years ago. She has now corrected the statement that Rosaria Butterfield made back in 2014 in an article published by the Gospel Coalition. She wrote, "Reparative therapy, a heresy, is a modern version of the prosperity gospel. Name it, claim it, pray gay away." She writes today, "This ranks among the most misguided words I have ever written as a Christian."
Tom, the publication of Rosaria's statement where she says back in the earlier days, after she had become a Christian, began to grow, began to teach on this issue, of which she is eminently qualified to do so, both in terms of her training, her past lifestyle, and the work of the gospel in her own life. What she's really getting at is that the gospel is true. And the gospel says that Jesus Christ, through his redeeming work at the cross and the power of the Holy Spirit, when we believe and repent of our sins and put our trust in him, he, number one, forgives us of all of our sins, their shame and their guilt and their consequences, by having paid for those sins on the cross. When he descends into hell on the cross, as the wrath of God is poured out upon him for all of our sins. And now the ascended Christ, by the power of the Spirit of God, with the power of the gospel, not only promises forgiveness, that's doctrines like justification and adoption, but also promises that we can change on our way to heaven. It's only when we get to the new heavens and the new earth that we will be perfect, but we can begin to be perfected. That is, grow in grace by putting off the old man, putting on the new man. Not manage the sin in your life, but mortify it, kill it in order to follow Christ with a new obedience motivated out of the love of Christ in our life. Paul is right in the midst of a culture that is suffused in sexual immorality and depravity, and he says this, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." That's really what Rosaria is saying here, that the gospel is a duplex. It's got two blessings that we live in. One is the declarative blessings of forgiveness. We now have a new record, the righteousness of Christ, who has removed our old record through his atoning death, our sins, and the penalty for those sins. And he has also brought transformational blessings, where he leads us out of the persuasion of sin. Regeneration, where he liberates us from the power of sin. Justification, he's canceled the sin. Regeneration, he's broken the power of the sin. And then sanctification, in which he sets us on an uneven, imperfect, yet discernible road of progressive sanctification, that is, growing in holiness out of love to Christ, not for our salvation, but for our Savior. And she is saying that's true of all sins, and that includes the sexual sins. That text that I read said twice, inherit the kingdom of God. Notice he's not saying there's a certain way you have to live to earn the kingdom of God, or a certain way you have to live to allow God to save you for the kingdom of God. He is saying when God saves you, this is the way we live. You've been washed, and we live in the progression of changing to become more and more like Christ as an act of lifestyle worship out of love to Christ. Such were some of you. you were that in your life. That was your identity in life. That's what you lived for. That was the idolatry of life. That's how and why you existed. But when you got converted, that died and you now came alive to Christ. That then set you on a path whereby you kill sin out of love to Christ and out of a desire to become more like Christ and out of a desire to serve the Lord. And sexual sins are no different. The addiction of heterosexual promiscuity, the addictions of the unnatural sexual activities of homosexuality and the related sins, the power of those can be broken, and by God's grace, you can live now a new life. You're not under its reign. You're now under grace. That grace is a gospel of hope. The power of that sin has been broken. Tom, right now I'm ministering to a number of people who have come to Christ out of the homosexual lifestyle. It's just astonishing to watch their growth in grace. I mean, really astonishing. But here's what I've noticed. Here's what has to happen. Full contact discipleship. There's three things that you do as you disciple people. And these three things are as effective dealing with sexual sins as they are with other sins that are embedded in our life or that would entangle us. There are embedded root sins. There are entangling sins in the lives of believers. I know that list I just read from 1 Corinthians 6, many of those were in my life, and so I know that they're there. But I also know the power of the gospel, whereby I can embrace the fullness of my forgiveness, and I can bring the means of grace whereby I begin to grow through the preaching of the word and discipleship. Now, what are those three things in full contact discipleship? Number one, remember that discipleship is not only informational, it's also relational. Two things need to happen. You need instruction so that we learn to think biblically from our heart through our mind. In other words, through the mind, reach the heart so that the thoughts of our heart are being filled with a biblical world and life view, the truth of the gospel, and the whole counsel of God. But we not only learn by instruction, we also learn by imitation. So you need disciplers in your life who can show you by the way they live what that looks like in life. Secondly, you flee temptation and you pursue obedience. You reach out to the lost, but your settled fellowship is no longer among the scorners and the mockers. One of my greatest passages on full contact discipleship is Psalm 1, where it says, "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, does not stand in the path of sinners." In other words, he's got the right mentoring, not the counsel of the ungodly. He's got the right modeling, doesn't stand in the path of sinners, and he's got the right company. And that is, he doesn't sit in the seat of the scorner. He has friends that are lost, but his fellowship is now among believers. It says that he then will meditate in the law of the Lord day and night. He will delight in the law of the Lord. And what's the result? He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of living water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. Thirdly and finally, you also bear witness, identify with Christ, you confess Christ before men, and you start ministering to others. It's when you're giving that you start living. And what you now have, you're starting to give away for Christ through the gospel to the world and the gospel to one another. You begin to grow in Christ by the power of the Spirit through the Word of God to the glory of God, and that becomes our joy. Oh, the blessing of the gospel. Such were some of you, but you were washed, you were justified, and you are redeemed in Christ Jesus.
Contemporary progressive Christianity in today's evangelical church is the 21st century version of an ongoing spiritual battle. Just like the liberal Christianity before it, contemporary progressive Christianity is actually anti-Christian, claiming to rescue Christianity from cultural irrelevance while actually undermining and denying biblical truth through cultural accommodation. Harry Reader's 9-part series, Progressive Christianity and Biblical Perspective, will help you understand this dangerous threat to the Christian faith. To order your copy of this 9-CD album, go to briarwood.org/progressive CD. Thanks for being with us today. Do stop by again tomorrow, Thursday, as we continue our conversation and as we apply a biblical worldview to put the issues of today in perspective.